10. We're still talking about spiritual warfare, but we're going to deal with a battle that Jehoshaphat fought. But before we get there, we're going to stop in John, pick up some nuggets before we move on. John chapter 10 and verse 10. And the Bible says, and I'm reading from the Amplified, the thief comes only, say only. Why does he come? He comes in order to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. How many want an overflowing full life? Abundant life. Say the word abundant. When you say that word, what do you think of when you say that word abundant? A lot? Anything else? What? Plentiful? Anything else? More than enough? Exceeds the need?
Full?
Yeah. Well, that's the kind of life that God wants to give. Now, I want you to notice something, that the purpose of the thief is what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. All right? Now, he says here that the thief comes. Who does he come to?
Us.
Yep. He comes to anyone who decides to believe God when they hear the word. All right? Go over to Mark chapter 4 for a second. Just want to show you something. Mark chapter 4. And look at verse 13 or 15. And Jesus is giving us insight into the parable of the sower, and he says this. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately. When does he come? When you hear, right? The minute you hear the word, Satan does not want that word to get into your heart. Because he knows if that word gets into your heart, it can take effect on your life. And so he will try to steal it. He'll try to keep you from it. He'll try to prevent the word from getting in you. The minute you could be in a service tonight, for example, and you're hearing the word of God, and maybe the Holy Spirit is urging you to respond in some way. And Satan will fight that. He'll give you thoughts and ideas and suggestions that'll come at you to try to prevent that word. He steals it the minute it's sown so it doesn't get to take root. Okay? He came in the garden, didn't he? Adam and Eve were in the garden. They were taking care of the garden. Adam had named all the animals. And there was someone else in the garden who took control of the serpent. And what was his intent? He wanted to steal and kill and destroy what God had set up because he was jealous. All right? Because he got kicked out. He got fired for pride. So he came in the garden. And I want to read, go to Hosea, right before Joel, chapter 7, just verses 1 through 5. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified. It's Hosea chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. He says, when I would heal Israel, then Ephraim's guilt is uncovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, how they practice falsehood, and the thief enters, and the troop of the bandits ravage and raid. But they do not consider and say to their minds and hearts, that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings surround and entangle them. They are before my face. They make the king glad with their wickedness and the princes with their lies. They are all adulterers. But I want you to see that how the thief came in and he began to turn their message. All right? Now, under Joshua, Israel had to fight enemies. They had to, even though God had said, I give you the promised land, it's yours, they had to enter into conflict, right? I mean, the first battle that they fought was Jericho. And they had to engage these guys. Even though the promised land was already theirs, they had to take an active role in receiving it. Okay? And when the thief comes, what is he going to do? He seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. How does he do that? One way, deception. If he can get you to believe an untruth or something that is not the truth, then guess what? He's got you. Because if we're believing something that is not the truth, then it's going to destroy our faith. And the devil can easily steal from it. So he comes to do that by deception. All right? And notice, he is looking for a way in. Just because he comes doesn't mean that you're going to answer the door when he comes. All right? He can come knocking at your door, but you don't have to answer the door. Can you say amen? Why? Because you're not ignorant of his devices. All right? Now, I want you to see something, though. The life of God overcomes the enemy. Jesus said he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may, say may, have life. How come God's abundant life isn't automatic? Because you got to receive it by faith. But his life is more than powerful enough to contradict the stealing and the destruction that the devil comes to do. In other words, the life of God will put a stop to the enemy. It stops him from stealing, killing, and destroying because the life is greater. Can you say amen? Okay? So he gives you life, and what you do with it makes the difference. So the thief comes, but he cannot do what he wants to do unless we give him permission. All right? Now go with me to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. This is one of my, I have so many, but this is one of my favorite passages. I just love the story of Jehoshaphat. And I want you to see some things here. In 2 Chronicles, we'll start with chapter 17 first. Okay? Now I want you to see something. Now he was, Jehoshaphat was the son of Asa. And look at verse 1 of chapter 17. Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. Now, at this time in Israel's history, there were two kingdoms. There was the kingdom of Judah, and there was the kingdom of Israel. And the kingdom of Israel usually represented, their kings were usually evil, and they followed the path of wickedness, whereas the kings of Judah were the righteous kings, and they would follow the path of righteousness. Okay? So I want you to see how Jehoshaphat, he strengthened himself. Can you say strengthened himself? Ephesians 6:10, you don't have to turn there, but it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. All right, we talked about that in our spiritual warfare because that comes right before he tells us to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Be strong in the Lord. Is that a suggestion? It's a command. How do you be strong in the Lord? You put your trust in him. You put your faith in him. The Bible says in Isaiah, wait upon the Lord and what? You shall renew your strength. It's like Clark Kent going into a phone booth. What happens when he goes into that phone booth? He renews his strength and he becomes Superman, the man of steel, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Okay? And Jehoshaphat, he fortified, he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah. In other words, he improved his defenses. What are you doing to improve your faith? Are you strengthening the areas of your faith that were not defended, that were left by themselves? See, when Jehoshaphat took over, Asa, he didn't put his trust in God, and so he had to strengthen the weak places. The Bible says, let the weak say, I'm what? So when you're feeling your weakest, you ought to say you're strong, because that's what the Bible says to say. Say, my words matter. How did God create the world? He spoke words, right? Whose image are you made in? You're made in God's image. So therefore, you have the ability to speak, don't you? Well, you can create things in your life with your words, whether good or bad. So Jehoshaphat, he strengthened these defenses. You know, there was a time when the disciples told Jesus, they said, increase our faith. And you know what Jesus said? If you had faith as a mustard seed, you would speak unto this mountain and command it to be removed and cast. If you had faith as a mustard seed, what happens when you plant a seed? Does it remain a seed? Does it produce more than what it started with? Absolutely. Well, when you put God's faith, when you increase your faith, you put more seed into the ground. Amen. The word of God is the seed and your heart is the ground. Now, verse 3. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. Why? Because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam. So because he walked by faith and not by sight. Isn't that what the Bible tells us to do? Walk by faith and not by sight. What does that mean? It means don't let your senses have the final word over your situation. What you see, what you feel, your emotions. You know, the Bible says be angry and what? Sin not. How do you not sin? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, be quick to repent. Be quick to forgive. Say, I'm quick to repent, and I'm quick to forgive. That's how we control our anger. So he walked in the ways of his father David. David is always representative of the righteous path, of the righteousness. All right? Often, there were a couple times when Jesus was called the Son of David. He comes from David's line. Look at verse 4. Why are we talking about this? I'm telling you what Jehoshaphat did behind the scenes before an attack took place in his life. All right? Why is this important? We as believers need to establish a habit of walking in the Word and going to the Word and seeking God before trouble ever comes. If you've never sought God and trouble comes, it might be too late. We ought to be in the practice of seeking God. All right, verse 4. But sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. So his heart was lifted in the ways of the Lord. He sought God. You have to understand, Jehoshaphat, he is king. He is the ruler of Judah. But I want you to see his heart, because we're going to get to an attack that he underwent, and if he hadn't been doing this, he would have not been prepared for the attack that was coming in his life. Okay? And what happened when he sought the Lord and he walked in his commandments? Verse 5. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand. In other words, God established him. God planted him. He became a tree that's planted by the living water. Go with me to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. I want you to see something here. Psalm chapter 1. Look at what it says. Blessed is the man that what? Walks. What are you walking in? The counsel, or he doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So you have the ungodly, you have the sinner, and you have the scornful or the mocker. Okay? So if you don't follow the sinner, the scorner, and the ungodly, you're going to be blessed. How many know what happens to a trout when they want to reproduce? They swim upstream, don't they? They go against the current. You know, as a believer in Christ, you can go against the current that the world flows in. You can go the opposite direction that the world is going in. Now notice this. But, say but, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. If you're not meditating in the law, it's not going to get in your heart. The way you get the word from your mind to your heart is through meditation. Thinking about it, speaking it, muttering it, pondering it, meditating on it. The more you meditate on the word of God, the greater the light will become in your life. You begin to meditate on, just take a couple scriptures each day and begin to meditate on them. Begin to think. Begin to go over it and over and over it in your mind. You know, this is the same thing he told Joshua. Let not the book of the law depart out of your mouth, but keep it in the midst of your heart, that you may observe to do, and meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. He said, then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. So, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. When you meditate, that's building up your armory. It's strengthening your armor. It's reinforcing what God's doing in your life. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. How do you suppose a tree by the rivers of living water grows? Oh, that tree has a good life. When a tree is planted by, notice it said rivers, doesn't it? More than one. That's fertile ground. That's rich ground. That tree has some green leaves. That tree has some juicy fruit. That tree has some good roots. I like those kinds of trees. Well, you can be like that if you do what it says. This is what Jehoshaphat did. Okay? You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. How many want to bring forth his fruit in his season? You don't want it to fall before time. You don't want it to rot on the tree. You want to bring it forth right at the right time. His leaf also shall not wither. That means you're constantly getting rays of the sun. When your leaf doesn't wither, photosynthesis can take place all the time. And then he says, whatsoever you do shall prosper. Say whatsoever. And then he describes the ungodly are not like that. All right, let's go back to 2 Chronicles. Okay? This is what happened to Jehoshaphat. Verse 5 of 2 Chronicles chapter 17. So the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought Jehoshaphat presents. That's what you call the favor of God. All of Judah began to bring in presents. Why? Because the Lord established him. Because he chose to walk in the commandments. He chose to seek God. This is before any attack ever occurred in his life. He's establishing a pattern in his life. All right? And he had riches and honor and abundance. Say abundance. There's that word again. What did he have in abundance? Riches. Say riches. That's with an S. That's more than one rich. Abraham had servants. He had cattle. He had herds. He had flocks. He had camels. How did Jehoshaphat? Oh, well, Pastor, he did that because he was king. Really? How he lived, his lifestyle was the key to his abundance. And it was the Lord who established him. When the Lord establishes you, he's going to set you up good. Only the Lord can take a nation of Israel and give them 400 years of back wages in one night. When the Israelites left Egypt, they plundered the Egyptians. How did they do it? The slaves asked the masters, I want that coat, I want that vase, I want that ring, and the masters gave it to them. The Bible talks about that. The Israelites plundered the Egyptians in one night. Verse 6. His heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and the groves. He removed the places of idol worship. And verse 7. Also, in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even Behael and Obadiah and Zechariah and Nathanael and Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. He sent out teachers to teach the word of God and the priests along with them throughout his kingdom. He had a religious reform. He was behind the teaching of the word of God. Notice what happened. Verse 9. Look at verse 9. And they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. If a teacher comes and doesn't bring the book of the law, don't listen to him. And went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. Now what happened when they taught the people the word? Verse 10. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms, say the kingdoms, of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. Can you see that the teaching of the word of God brought peace? Now notice, Jehoshaphat was a government official who authorized the teaching of the word in his kingdom. And it not only affected his nation, but all the nations around him. Okay? I'm getting to his attack here. I'm just kind of laying the groundwork. Notice what happened, verse 11. And also some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents. Now, can you think of any famous Philistine? Goliath. Was he a friend of the nation of Israel or an enemy? Now here, because Jehoshaphat sanctioned the teaching of the word of God that brought peace to his surrounding, the Philistines were bringing him gifts. His enemies were bringing him gifts because of the teaching of the word and his lifestyle to back it up. He not only taught the word, but he lived it. Okay? If you're going to be successful, when the enemy tries to come in, you're going to have to make this word a reality in your life. Deuteronomy 30:19, the Bible says this: I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. And he said what? I would that you choose life. Say, I'm choosing life. When you choose life, you're saying you're choosing to be a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. And you're going to produce your fruit in its season. Your leaf will not wither, and whatever you do will prosper. Say, we'll prosper. Say, I'm prosperous. What would happen if we walked around our house and said that we were prosperous 1,000 times in a day? You would start seeing yourself as prosperous, and guess what? You would start to prosper. Things that make you go, So some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and tribute silver, and the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,000 and 700 rams and seven. How'd you like to have the Arabians, who are the oil people, come and bring you gifts because you got the favor of God on you? You know, I heard a story one time. One of the Saudi princes wanted to learn how to play golf, and so he contacted Arnold Palmer. And so Arnold Palmer went there and taught him how to play golf, and the prince was so appreciative that he wanted to give Arnold Palmer a gift. And so, you know, Arnold Palmer thought, he said, well, I've never had a golden golf club. And he never thought much about it. Well, a short period of time after, he got a package sent in the mail from the Saudi prince, and the Saudi prince sent him a deed to a whole golf course that he purchased for him to show him appreciation. The Philistines and the Arabians were given Jehoshaphat gifts because of how he lived and the teaching of the Word of God. See, if you're going to, I'm preparing you to face the enemy, because when you're righteous, you are a target for the enemy. If you don't believe me, ask Moses' mom and dad, who an order was given to kill every baby. But yet, Moses caught their eye. He had the favor of God upon him. They put him in that basket, and they saved him. How about when Herod wanted to kill the babies that were 2 years old and younger because he didn't know exactly when Jesus was born? What did Jesus was a baby at that time. God told Mary and Joseph to flee to Egypt to protect them. See, I'm giving you the keys that's going to protect you when you face an attack from the enemy. Look at verse 12. And Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly. Say exceedingly. That's right along the lines of abundance. And he built in Judah castles and cities of storehouse. So he established God's covenant on earth. Deuteronomy 8:18 says he's given you the power to get wealth. Why? So that he may establish his covenant on the earth. God wants to establish his covenant through you. Say, through me. Okay? Look at chapter 18, verse 1. Now, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor, kind of. Is that what it says? How did he have riches and honor? In abundance, and joined affinity with Ahab. Now look at verse 4. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord. Do you know anything about Ahab? The Bible said he was the most wicked king up to that point in Israel's history. Yeah, he had a wife named Jezebel, and he did whatever his wife told him to do. He entertained the prophets of Baal. He did not take a stand for righteousness. All right? So there was a marriage there that took place, and Jehoshaphat was joining himself with Ahab, and the first thing he wanted to inquire of was the Lord. And verse 6 says, but Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? Can you see where his heart was? Before he got involved in anything, he would seek the word of the Lord. This is important. Okay? Well, anyway, go down to verse 31. There was a prophet there that they told him, the other prophets are giving Ahab a good report, and I want you to do the same thing. And Micaiah was one of the guys that Jehoshaphat established to teach the word, if you look back in 17. Anyway, look at verse 31. They were in this battle with Ahab and or this other king. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat that they said, "It is the king of Israel." Therefore, they compassed round him to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. So there he was, after having established a habit of walking in righteousness, in the midst of a battle, he was able to call upon God, and what? God delivered him from harm. Can you say amen? God will do the same for us too. Now go to chapter 20. And in chapter 20, verse 1, it came to pass after this. Say after this. Now you think Jehoshaphat would have it good, right? He's a king. He's walking in righteousness. He's got money. He's got riches and honor and abundance. You know, he's experiencing a good life. I'm okay. Never put your trust in this world's goods. Put your trust in God. Okay? Notice what happens. It came to pass. Say, it came to pass. That the children of Moab, Ammon, with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Okay? The devil now is going to come against Jehoshaphat. This is a physical manifestation of a spiritual battle. Because Jehoshaphat was walking in righteousness. He was doing what God wanted him to do. He was following God's way. And all of a sudden, this attack came to pass. Verse 2. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There comes a great multitude." Say, a great multitude. "Against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." Now, what did Jehoshaphat do? I want you to consider that he established a habit of going to the Lord, inquiring of the Lord, seeking God, and the Lord established him. He did what was right. And Jehoshaphat feared. All right? It's okay to fear, just don't stay there too long. And while he feared, he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. He did what he had been in the habit of doing when the attack came. Do you see that? It wasn't hard for him to turn himself to the Lord, because from the very moment he became king, he strengthened himself in the Lord. He had a habit of turning to the Word before anything else. Everywhere he went, he inquired, "Okay, God, is this something that you want me to get involved with?" And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. So he initiated it. He said, first of all, he set himself, then he got others to join him. And they gathered them together. They asked help of the Lord. They came from all the cities of Judah. And now look at verse 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord. So he was in church. Before the new court. So he took the initiative to seek God, and then he led the people in doing that. And he began to pray, "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And don't you rule over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And your hand is there, and in your hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand?" He begins to magnify God. He begins to exalt God above his head. He begins to declare how strong and how powerful and how mighty God is. Notice he's not talking about the enemy, is he? He's talking about how big God is. And then he said, "Are you not our God?" He takes ownership. He takes his position. He said, "You're my God, who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever. You know, we are still operating under Abraham's covenant. Galatians 3:13 says, all the blessings of Abraham are yours. And then verse 9, he goes on to say, if when evil comes upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house in your presence, for your name is in this house. Hallelujah. When you take a stand for God, God will stand with you. And they cried unto you in our affliction. Then you will hear and help. God, the Bible says that God is a very present help in trouble. He said, look, lift your hands up lift your eyes up. That's where your help comes from. And he goes into his enemy. He said, now look at the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you wouldn't let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of your possession. Jehoshaphat recognized that God gave him what he had. It was the Lord who established him. And he said, no enemy is taking me from this spot. This is your possession. And he said, which you have given us to inherit. He said, will you not judge them? We have no might against this great company. He is not strong in himself. He is strong in the Lord. Jesus said, I can do nothing, what? Of myself. Now, if Jesus couldn't do anything of himself, what makes us think we can? I'm just going to stand against this. Really? You go ahead. Neither know we what to do. You know what? He said, when you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally. When you're facing something that you don't know what to do, God will show you what to do. And then God sent a prophet, and the Spirit of the Lord came on him in the midst of the congregation, and he said, hearken, all Judah, listen. Listen to what the prophet says. Listen to what the word of the Lord is. How many know when the word speaks, we need to listen? How many know that we shouldn't get involved in things unless we hear from heaven? Too many times we get into things that we shouldn't be into because we haven't heard from heaven. I know I've done it. I know we've all done it. But you know what? The past is the past. From this day forward, let's make it a point to hear from heaven. I'm trying to teach, but I just preach is coming out. Thus says the Lord. You know what? Before you go into battle, you better hear, thus says the Lord. David made it a habit to inquire of God before he faced any enemy. He said, should I go here? Should I pursue? Should I do this? Are they going to come against me? He would hear from the Lord before he would march into battle. Thus says the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed. Say, I don't fear. And to be dismayed means to be confused or wild in your thinking. You know, when you have things in disarray. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. In other words, he said, don't look at the size of your enemy. Look at the size of your God. What were the soldiers that faced Goliath talking about? They were talking about the size of their enemy. But David came on and he talked about the size of his God. They were measuring his sword and his spear, and David was taking measurement of the name of the Lord. Okay. He says, the battle is not yours, but God's. He said, tomorrow, go down against them. Say, against them. We've already talked about how we have to resist Satan steadfast in the faith. Okay? And he told them exactly where he was going to find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness. Did the enemy's attack take God by surprise? No. See, and when we take time to pray to God, He'll give you heaven's perspective. He'll give you a perspective from the skybox. Okay? And prayer is like the coach wearing the headset. Because they see a different perspective from up here, and he'll relay the message down to the coach, and he has that headset, and he can make the plays accordingly. So they had to show up in this battle, but they didn't have to fight. He said, "You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand still." How'd you like to be a soldier, armed and ready for battle, and you just have to face your enemy, and you just have to stand still? You just have to look them down. How'd you like to be Joshua? And he had about 600,000 soldiers. And as they marched around Jericho, they had to be silent until the seventh time of the seventh day. That was a miracle. They couldn't talk until the Lord said, "Shout." So all they did was they marched around that city for 6 days, one time a day. And then on the seventh day, seven times. Then when that seventh time came, they blew the trumpets, and then the shout came, and then that's when the walls fell down. What happens if they'd have shouted on day five? They'd have gotten out of the will of God. See, don't try to mix your plans with God's plans. Be willing to take God's plans and strategy for this particular battle, because He might want you to fight a different way than you fought it before. He might have a different way for you to be healed than what you were healed before. He might have a different way for you to get the finances you need than the way you got it before. So he said, "Fear not nor be dismayed. The Lord will be with you." Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. He was a worshiper. And all the inhabitants of Judah, you notice, when the king worshipped, the people worshipped. And then the Levites stood up to praise the Lord with one voice. And Jehoshaphat, they rose early in the morning, and he gave them a word of encouragement. He said, "Okay, team, here's what I want you to do. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established." Was he speaking from experience? He certainly was, because the Lord established him. He knew what it meant to be established in the Lord. He knew what it meant to believe God, so he was speaking from experience. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Was he talking from experience or what? Because everywhere he went, he sought the prophetic word. Because at that time, they had the prophets would speak a lot more than, thank God for the prophets. You know, prophets are still operating today. And then they began to praise the Lord and said, "His mercy endures forever." And when they began to sing, look at verse 22. When they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Hallelujah. For Ammon stood up against Moab, and Moab stood up against Mount Seir, and they were killing themselves. All because the people began to praise the Lord. And look at verse 24. When Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Now get this. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they didn't have to fight. All they had to do was praise, and God wiped out their enemy and left the spoil behind. They found among them in abundance. Say abundance. I love that word. Both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And there were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. Can you say amen? But if Jehoshaphat had not established a pattern of seeking the Lord in times of peace, it would have been a lot more difficult for him to seek the Lord when the trouble came. But because he had set up that pattern, that he made it a purpose, every day he would seek the Lord. Every situation, he would seek the Lord. And when he was attacked, when a great multitude came against him, he didn't have to fear, because all he did was seek the Lord, and the Lord gave him a strategy to defeat his enemy. You talk about some warfare. Well, that's a strange way to fight. Yeah, but our God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts. See, he knows about everything. He knows about every enemy that you face. He knows about everything that comes against you. And if we would just take a moment and listen to him and get his strategy. Well, this is how I did it before. Yeah. That's good how you did it before, but maybe God wants to do it a different way this time. Give him the option. You're not God. But Jehoshaphat, you know what his name means? The Lord is judge. Or Jehovah is judged. That's what his name means, Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat. I love his name too. And because of his habit, and he just did what he always had done, he sought the Lord. And the Lord gave him a divine strategy, and they just had to show up. Sometimes all you got to do is just show up. Count yourself here and show up. And they began to praise the Lord. He began to worship. He led the people in worship. And while they're praising, the enemy was killing himself, themselves. And 3 days, gathering this, 3 days. You're talking, Jehoshaphat had an army. And it took 3 days to gather the spoil because there was so much. Come on now. It's time that we practice this. Not only individually, but corporately. Because God will give us a strategy that will give us the victory. And I didn't intend to rhyme, but it all did, I guess. And look at what they did on verse 26, then I'm closing. On the fourth day, you know, Jesus, he came out on the third day. It was no, there's a significance there why they spent 3 days gathering the spoil. 3 days among the dead bodies. But they came out with much more than what they had. They assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka. You know what that word means, Baraka? It's the valley of blessing. Ha ha. They assembled in the blessing, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Baraka unto this day, the Valley of Blessing. They returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy. Say with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. How are you going to fight this battle? I'm going to rejoice over my enemies. That's all they did. They didn't swing a spear. They didn't wield a sword. They rejoiced over their enemies, and God gave them the victory. So, that's how we fight. You must take some time to hear from God. If you've been struggling, do you realize that the woman with the issue of blood, she did what she knew to do. She spent all of her money. She saw the best doctors, the best scientists for 12 years. But what happened when she heard? She heard the word for the first time. She heard about Jesus, and she said, that's it, I'm getting there. Hearing about Jesus was enough for her to say, if I just but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. And what happened? Just that one word that she heard, that she didn't allow Satan to steal, she got a miracle. So what can we learn from Jehoshaphat? Seek the Lord. Obey his commands. Make it a habit and a practice each and every day. Amen? Because you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, Satan will try to bully you. He'll try to bully you into unbelief and doubt. He'll try to bully you to steal the word. But you know what? He's not going to be successful. If you just do what the Lord tells you to do and stand your ground. Say this, if God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And no matter, don't let any other influence try to tell you any different. So, Father, we just give you thanks and praise for tonight. Lord, I thank you that you would refresh us with this word. Father, as we meditate on it, give us revelation and insight and understanding. Holy Spirit, bring us into all truth about facing our enemies. In Jesus' name, amen.